We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Bite.
West Virginia defensive coordinator Jordan Leslie met with media earlier this morning. Listen to what he had to say coming up right after this.
West Virginia is a special place, but it's the people that make it special.
Honestly, it is the crowd. It's the people.
This is one of the great environments. There are no pro teams in the state of West Virginia. They love West Virginia sports right here.
This is the most underrated fan base in the country.
Grass Resource, state of West Virginia, is not coal. Grass Resource is its people.
Join the climb today at WVUtimeToClimb.com.
Hey, Coach, I'll ask you the same thing I asked Coach Parker. What did you get accomplished today, and how different were they with the pads on now?
I told the guys before, you know, that to me, this is the real day one. This is where you really and when you put pads on, mentalities change and approaches change by individuals. So you find out who is, who's willing to be as physical as you want your whole group to be. And also as far as the install goes, you're really on day three. So you're adding more pieces. It gets a little harder, not only physically but mentally. So really, what we want to do is we want to expand on the install a little bit and really more situational than anything, things that are particular to whether it be third down, red zones, whatever. So adding a little bit of that, wanted to see how guys reacted to that. And I thought it was about what I thought it would be. We had some older guys that didn't miss a beat, and younger guys struggled a little bit, and that's natural. That's okay. That's part of it. The big thing with what we try to do is the kind of the rhythm of when we install the defense is practice correct and re-practice the same thing again. And so that I don't think it's fair to always say day by day, you're putting this section. I think you should put in what you're trying to get in, practice it, let them make the mistakes, let them fail, and then correct it. And then do the same thing again the next time you're out there, because I think that's the best way to get your young guys and guys that are playing multiple positions, which is one thing that we wanted to do also. And I think we did that today, is get them up to speed on those things.
Real quick, curious, Neil was talking a lot about versatility. And you mentioned getting guys to work at different spots. How is that going, and how important is that going to be for you moving forward?
I think it's going well. There's really two places where it really sticks out, and I think that you really need it. It's up front on the defensive line, and that includes the Bandits. And then in the secondary, especially at safety. I'm counting the spear in that safety too. So we're able to rotate those guys. The techniques are very similar. Schematically different between spear and safety than it is, you know, as you compare it to like nose guard and defensive tackle. But again, I think it's important in our defense is, you know, honestly, we're really trying to play with 2D tackles. You know, there's not a traditional nose guard, which is no different than what we've been doing. That's the way we played Darius too. So, having different guys, multiple guys played both those positions. And then in the secondary, particularly in safety as well, I think it's going well. I think the guys have been enjoying it. I think that's, you know, it only helps those guys, especially, you know, down the road when they get into the next part of their career, especially in the NFL, versatility is the word you always hear on draft day. So it's good for them too.
Next question from Greg Hunter.
So Jordan, a couple of new defensive coaches, even you're coaching a new position. So how tough is it for players to sort of adjust? I mean, not tough, but how long does it take for them to adjust to sort of new coaches and new techniques and new things you're asking?
You know, every football is different. You really hope that no more than a day, to be honest with you, just because you, you're able to get around the guys in the weight room and in the cafeteria and from the time they get here, before you ever get on the field, they get a chance to get to know them. The quicker that they're able to do that, then the easier that transition is. I think that for me, going back to the hiring process was getting the right fits, getting the right people that I felt. Coach Brown, myself, you know, felt that those guys, it would be pretty seamless transition. And it is, you know, those guys, AJ and Shadon have been great. You know, kids have really, really responded to them well. And so really hadn't taken that long.
Ryan Pritt.
Hey, Jordan, wanted to ask you about a couple guys in particular here, Daryl Porter and Jackie Matthews. It seemed to think there would be a you know, with Drayshon transferring out earlier, there would seem to be a hole there. I just wanted to kind of ask you the difference between them from last year, obviously young guys to this year, and just what's that competition like heading into spring and then in the summer and fall too?
Yeah, the competition is going to be fierce. And those two guys you named are the two guys that we've talked about really before anybody left, was that those are two guys that have to step up, have to be contributors. And they can be. You know, Jackie and DP both have made tremendous strides just in the first couple of days of practice. You know, I think Jackie has stood out probably a little more up to this point, just making some competitive plays on ball and certain drills. And so, you know, that competition, like I said, it's going to be fierce, but they will. They're going to be guys that I know they both had great offseason. They're both stronger. You know, both their bodies are a little more ready to go than what they were last year. And that's typical. But whether it's Jackie, a junior college transfer, or DP, a high school kid, that's typical in year one for either one of those guys. Now that they've had that full off season, a full off season leading into spring football that they really didn't have last year, it means the world. So both those guys are doing a great job.
Michael Sussman.
After a solid season last year, I imagine you'd expect Akeem Mesidor to get more attention from defenses in 2021. What does he need to do to elevate his game, and how's he looked through three practices?
He's done a good job. We're playing him. We're playing him at both D tackles inside. Akeem's a little heavier. He's having to adjust carrying the extra weight. He really don't look that much different, but he's carrying extra weight, which is a good thing. You know, he is going to it's a lot like last year. I mean, if he's going to garner more attention from an offense by protection or where they're running the football, Then the other guys around him got to step up, period. And that's what we had. That's, you know, Darius was the same way. And Dante has got it, you know, the same way. So he's, you know, the one thing about Akeem loves football. And I can always say that about him. You know, he's a guy that he doesn't count reps. It's just, you know, like if you're doing one-on-one pass rush, he doesn't count. He doesn't say, well, I've done two, maybe I should, you know, he's not one of those guys that, no, I've done enough. Or he doesn't count them. He just, oh, nobody wants to go, I'll go. And so that's what makes him, is going to make him so good. You know, he's got some fundamental things he's got to learn, play more inside than outside. But I think if you look at his body type and you know, his attributes, what he's good at, his future is definitely a defensive tackle.
John Antoni.
I was curious about this. I've always been fascinated by nomenclature and what you call things, and how have the new coaches handled the way you call things and describe things and play calls, things like that. And just curious, do you keep it simple so that the guys can learn it?
Oh, yeah. Well, you try to. Think that what I've always tried to do with new coaches, and especially guys that have the knowledge that AJ and Shadon has, or they have, is if their terminology they bring here makes a little more sense, I'll just flip and use it. And that's the easiest thing for me, because you're trying to always bring guys along and bring them up to speed. So, you know, if like I said, if they like their terminology, and it's something that's, hey, you know, that makes a little more sense than what we're doing, well, then we'll change it and we'll use their terminology. The rest of the time, you just try to, you know, you try to keep it condensed, especially in the spring. Fundamentally, there's fundamentals and personnel development and evaluation way more important than the actual schematics. You know, I think we've done a lot of things to simplify this defense, even from the end of last year. And so that's definitely going to help us, allows our guys to play fast, and then obviously allows our coaches to coach fast. And like you said, keep it simple. So that's always – that's just a general defense philosophy. And I think simpler the better.
I was going to say, coach is notorious for calling things 10 different ways, the same thing, you know. It can be more complicated than it really is sometimes, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Football is a simple game complicated by humans.
Our next question comes from Chuck Landon.
Hey, Jordan, I'm curious about Sean Martin. How's he progressing?
You know, Sean has done well. He's had a good offseason. The thing about Sean, and probably the person that needs to realize this more than anybody, is Sean himself. Sean is 6'5" tall, 280 pounds. He's probably 82, 83.5 inch on. And that's a lot of body to control. And at the end of the day, he's still a 19-year-old. So learning how to control it, which is a piece of it, but it's his body. It's those, I've always called them stabilizer muscles, just different things that will come with time in the weight room. He has to just get strong enough really to support his own body and learn how to play and play big with that body type. Because there's really, again, go back to the word versatility when you start looking for guys that have the ability to go to the next level. You know, versatility and athleticism is a premium, but so is length. And it creates this different set of issues for an offense. Sean just has to learn how to use that, and he will. It's such a, he plays his senior year, I think, right at 248-50 pounds, and now you're looking up, and he's mid 280s, you know, and that's a lot of, he's a big boy, and so he just has to learn, but he's coming along great. He's going to be a contributor this fall. And beyond that will be how he progresses from this point on. So excited about Sean. I think Sean's going to be a great player here.
Thanks, Jordan.
Mike Cazaga.
Hey, Jordan, how's it going?
Hey, Mike.
I have a question about humans making the game difficult here. You have an army of analysts throughout the Big 12 and on your schedule who are probably sitting down during the spring and trying to figure out, you know, how the heck you guys did what you did on defense last year. And you guys are out on the field, and Neil has talked to us about playing six defensive backs, one linebacker, different types of even front. How do you stay ahead when people are trying to catch up to you without doing so much that you kind of spoil the recipe?
Well, you know, you have to go back, and I think a lot of time it's hard for coaches, especially it's hard for players that, especially older guys who, you know, are confident or I don't think big egos are the word, just guys that have accomplished a lot. And like I said, coaches, especially, I think the biggest thing you got to look back on is you got to focus on the negative. All right, and forget the positive, because to be honest with you, the positive was that we played extremely hard. And so I think one of the big reasons for our success was not necessarily what we were doing, it's how we were doing it. And so that's got to continue. That the schematic stuff is you always have to be complementary to your personnel. I think bad coaching is asking guys that to do something they can't do because it works on a whiteboard or a piece of paper. Everything works on a whiteboard. You know, everything works on when you draw it up. But if you're asking a guy, the simple example is if a guy can't play man, you can't ask him to play man. If you do, that makes you a bad coach, because then you're being allowing the kid to be successful. So the thing that we're doing, just really not trying to stay ahead of anybody or worrying about what everybody in our league is looking at. It's just, let's focus on what were we bad at. And so obviously there's a reason we were bad at it. We either got to find a way to get better at it fundamentally, or how we were doing things, or if there's a schematic change that has to take place, then let's look at that. All right. And let's do something that our personnel allows us to do. Okay. We just don't go around, or I don't, and none of the coaches here go around and say, well, because the Chiefs are doing it, or because the Patriots are doing it, or because Alabama's doing it, let's look at that. Well, I mean, their personnel is quite a bit different than ours. So we're not going to make wholesale changes worrying about people catching up with us. You'll see in the first, I take the Baylor game, for example. You'll see in the first game or two how people, you know, a professional developed you and studied you, and you'll see how they're attacking you. And once you see that, you say, all right, well, this is coming down the line. You kind of can see that coming as you go. And so, you know, and then you have an idea from the previous year of how people attacked you and things you need to get better. And I think, again, I think you have to focus on where the negative was. And we had quite a bit. And so we've had to fix and correct but there's simple, subtle changes usually. They're not wholesale changes, because you start making wholesale changes, well, then you get your kids questioning what you're doing on defense as a whole. And that's the worst thing you can do. You have to be who you are, stick with who you are, and roll with it.
Greg Hunter.
So last one for me, Jordan. In terms of personnel, Neil said that he still wants to add a few pieces, and it sounds like they're all going to be defensive guys who maybe could help you pretty quickly. What positions? Best case scenario for you, you add what?
We probably need at least one more linebacker and at least one more secondary guy. Just depending on how things play out up front, to look for a defensive lineman in a number of different positions, but that's probably about it.
And that was West Virginia defensive coordinator Jordan Leslie. The Mountaineers are scheduled to have two more practices this week, Wednesday and Thursday, and then the team will have the weekend off for Easter. Thanks for listening.